Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Today I had the privilege and the pleasure of interviewing Michaela Owens. She is a wife and a mother and a retreat leader, and she's going to be giving a one-day retreat on Psalm 23. But really, it's about encountering the heart of the shepherd. And she has a beautiful, natural way of speaking about encountering the Lord in the midst of dark valleys and green pastures. And you're going to have a chance to hear a beautiful interview with her today. All that coming up in just 1 minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, before I bring you to the interview with Michaela Owens, quick story. How does God put someone on your intercessory list? How do you get people to actually say, oh, God wants me to pray for this person? Mostly it happens through people that we know saying, hey, I have a need. Would you please pray for me? Absolutely. And we do that. But one of the ways that I think God gets people to in front of us to pray for is when they do things that are very disturbing or bothersome. It's God's way of saying, hey, that person's not in your life. That person's not in your awareness. But this thing, this encounter, this interaction just was my way of saying, I need you to pray for this beloved daughter of mine. That happened to me on Saturday. I'm coaching the girls' varsity basketball team at Chesterton Academy. We're playing another team. This team has two good players, and we are not that good of a team, right? We were freshmen and sophomores, one junior, and not a lot of background in basketball, really. And so we have to really make up for a lack of skill and maturity in playing with tenacity and ferocity and intensity in how we play defense. Now, we're not mean, we're not harsh, and we're not physical and aggressive, but we are tenacious. And that's not that typical. And it really bothered these two players that were used to having a lot more ease and space, getting the ball and moving around. And they were bothered so much that they started to like use cuss words and elbow and play in dirty, mean ways. And it was obvious, right? And that's sometimes how they play. Okay. So what ends up happening is at the end of the game, now they beat us. They beat us by about 20 points. And we continued to fight and battle the whole way through, but they beat us. And so at the end of the game, you know, you congratulate the other team. You go down a line and everybody kind of gives a high five to the other saying good game. Well, their players come down, and this one of their two best players comes to me, and she puts her hand behind her back. She like refuses to like give me an acknowledgement of good game. And I'm like, you're kidding me. Coached like 100 basketball games and more than that in 10 years, 10 teams, all these other, no one has ever done that. And they won, and it wasn't even close. I was like, wow, that's really sad. So I went over to the coaches and I said, hey, just want to let you know what happened here, that, you know, one of your senior players, one of your leaders on the team got to me and didn't acknowledge me. She pulled her hand back. I said, that's really disrespectful. So that says a lot about attitude and character. And I said, we are not your enemies. We are your opponents. We play this game on the court, but we're not your enemies. I said, I wanted you to know that. I put that in your hands, what you want to do about that player that would do that, how disrespectful that was. So I went back to our locker room and I told them, and a couple of the other players were like, hey, The other girl, the other star on their team, she did that to me. She pulled her hand back. And then come to find out later, they were swearing in the halls and saying really degrading, like kind of disgusting, dark things. And so I let these ladies know. I said, ladies, on my team, it's a gift that you've been given, the gift of faith. And it's a gift that you're on this team where we pray together and we uphold this idea that we're children of God and that you have this dignity. I said, that's a gift you've been given. And these ladies just showed up the way they did. Now, we could be mad and we could be angry and upset, Oh, you know what? We could pray for them. These girls need prayer, because if that's how they are operating and that's what they're doing on a court and they're doing in a line in a game like this, and they're saying off the court out loud and other kids are hearing it, and this is a game they've won. What are they doing in the rest of their lives? They need prayer. Now, I never would have prayed for these two girls. Just not on my radar screen. Just not in my life. Well, that game, those attitudes, that display, and that action just put these two ladies onto my spiritual radar screen. So, the Lord loves them. The Lord has a plan for them. The Lord has a purpose for their lives. And obviously, they're in situations where they're not necessarily being nurtured and challenged to be these daughters of God and live a godly life if this is how they're showing up. So they need prayer. And you know what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the disturbing, bothersome way you got them onto my radar screen, because now I'm going to pray for them. I share that with you because there just might be people that God is putting onto your spiritual radar screen so that you would pray for them, so that you're thinking, I'm not going to be bothered by that. You just got onto my prayer list. There you go. All right. Let's now turn to Michaela Owens and let's get into a beautiful interview. Oh, and welcome to the program, Michaela Owens. Michaela is a woman of great faith, a mom of a whole bunch of kids, and someone that Carrie and I met a few years ago. And now I'm thrilled to be able to interview you, Michaela, as a retreat leader, a whole other dimension of your life and ministry. And I'm thrilled to be able to talk to you about that today. So welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Kern. I'm so happy to be here. Really,
yes,
excited.
Absolutely. I think that's the first and only time you've ever called me.
I know. I just realized that. Kern. I was like, why did I just call you that? Sorry. Nerves.
You're totally fine. Call me Tom, please.
Tom. Okay. Right. I got to get back to normal. Yeah. Thank you, Tom. I feel very honored to be able to and humbled that God would give me this platform to just share his goodness in my life. And so I'm really honored to be here.
Well, let's sort of dive in and just say, you are someone that lives a very full life, but yeah. I would say that you're a person who exudes faith. I know when Carrie and I first met you, it was at a prayer meeting that we were doing, and to hear your testimony and a bit of your story and the background that you have in your family. And it was just like, it was really, really powerful. It was like actually a wonderful sign of the idea that God is drawing his people together in order to help find a place of fellowship and refreshment and also encouragement to go deeper in faith. And so I remember that was sort of our first impression when we drove away from that prayer meeting, having had a first chance to just interact with you and hear a bit of your story.
Yeah, praise God. I felt very encouraged by being with you guys too. Just other people that just long to walk with the Lord and just come to know his love more. And just, yeah, I love being with you guys.
So so I'm old and you're young. Okay. So, but your faith is not young in you. So tell us a little bit about any part of your own sort of journey of faith that I think would be an encouragement for folks to be able to hear.
Right. That totally resonates with me, because I just feel like the Lord has given me this painful gift of living a lot of life, and walking through a lot of trials. I just feel like that has, you know.
Well, Michaela, I'm going to say it this way. This is so cool. You want to dive right into the meat, right?
I know.
Let's start with the whipped cream and the cherry. Like, let's start with the joy and the beauty of coming to know the Lord, the aspects of our Catholic faith where you've been able to flourish in faith. And then we'll talk about some of the heavier burdens that have been part of your life and the way that the Lord has been a good shepherd to you. So let's start with the joy and the beauty of flourishing in faith through life-giving things.
Right. So, yeah, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I was given all the Catholic things, and I'm so grateful for that foundation. I grew up in Seattle and like part of my childhood, and I was surrounded by a really strong Catholic community, and that really built this foundation of like understanding the gifts of the sacraments. But I totally had not yet encountered the Lord in more of a personal way, where I came to know his love for me. I was longing for that and searching for this just type of love where you're seen, you are known and accepted. And I started just kind of, yeah, searching for that in all the wrong places and totally went my own way and yeah, kind of made a mess of my life. And then I realized just my great need for God, and that's what got me to this place of just total surrender and total like wanting more for my life, wanting to know God's love in a real way. And when I started yeah, just trusting him with different things in my life and coming to know his love for me, especially in the sacrament of confession, and just seeing his faithfulness, I guess, unfold in my life, I started to believe more and more that he is trustworthy and he is good and he wants my good. And so I started like following him more closely and just experiencing this love that I had never known before that just changed my whole life. And I realized, like, wow, like there is a joy, there is a peace, there is this abundant life that God wants for me that I'm not living. And
Well,
so,
Michaela, let's
yeah.
talk about that. You talked about like sort of reaching the end of your rope, right? It was like, okay, I have this ache in my heart. I'm trying to fill it in a variety of ways. It's not working. It's just getting worse and it's more painful. And at some point you said, I surrender. Was there did the Lord like send you an angel? Was there a person in your life? Was there an event that happened? Was there a song you heard on the radio, right? Was there something that was like, this is changing my whole approach, and now I'm going to surrender. What could you remember any person or event that was help that was really significant in that time?
Yeah, so I mean, to be completely real, I was like going down a path of self-destruction and making really poor choices. And I, yeah, I was, yeah, like I said, making a mess of my life. I got arrested twice for underage drinking in college. I was just like, yeah, just partying in a mess and just didn't know who I was, didn't know who God was. And so then it was like I just like my path was just getting redirected. I could see like just this greater power just kind of like redirecting my path and like little by little like trying to call me back. And then I was, yeah, kind of at the end of my rope where, you know, everything just seems so broken in my life, like my relationship with my dad, just things like I knew I couldn't fix on my own. I knew that I couldn't redeem these things in my own power. And so I was praying and I was crying out to the Lord, like, please, like, help me. I don't know what to do anymore. And when I got to that point, I actually, the Lord, I found out I was pregnant, and that was actually where the point of my surrender was, finding out I was pregnant and also confused. You know, I obviously knew like my choices led to that, but I knew the Lord like was allowing this, and I had been praying for help. And so I was like, it was really hard for me to trust that that was God's plan for my life. I was terrified. And so that was just this point of surrender of like, Lord, I don't understand what you are doing right now, but I'm going to trust that you have good plans, and I'm going to let go of control for the first time. And that's when I felt like it was a real surrender to God, and just wanting to go his way instead of mine. Does
Well,
that
Michaela, you know
make
what you just said there was very profound. And I think that I'm going to tease something out of this. And that is that having been brought up Catholic, you had the sacraments and the graces that came were sunk into your bones, right? It was deep within you. So that even though you were like seeking for fulfillment and maybe acting out of rebellion and searching in dark places, the Lord was still there in the secret of your heart, beckoning you, beckoning you, beckoning you, right? So even if it wasn't, oh, somebody stopped me on the street and talked to me, or I stumbled into a church and there was a message. No, it was inside of you that still small voice of the Lord reached you beyond what your own thoughts. And I think that that's such an encouragement for parents. Right? For there are parents and there are grandparents, and they're like, how do I reach my kid? How do I reach my grandkids? I see them like in a place of rebellion right now, or they're just lost. And it's like, you know what? No, the Lord is faithful and he will speak beyond. He goes through locked doors, right? He goes through locked doors to be able to speak to your heart and reveal his heart in a way that can lead to a surrender and a whole new way of life. I think that's a really beautiful testimony that you're giving there about God works within. He works in the secrets of the heart. Does that resonate? Does that like strike you as something that would be like really, I don't know, just powerful and important to hear?
Yes, no, I 100% agree with that, and that resonates with me because there was this deep anchor within me, like you said, this like small voice that was speaking to me and always with me, like even in the places I had wandered, and the darkness I was living in, there was still this God with me and speaking to me. And that's why I feel like there was this. I showed up to church on Sunday. I knew where to go. I knew where God was. Like, I knew that that's where I wanted to be. But I was still struggling with so much pain that I, acting out of just pain and just a lack of identity. So it was really like that totally resonates with me.
So, in a certain sense, you hit bottom. That was the particular bottom for your life. And you turned to the Lord. Now, the Lord started to lift you up.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
And again, I'm talking with Michaela Owens today. You're going to hear about her retreat she's doing. It's a one-day retreat at the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center, where she's going to be helping bring you into contact with the Good Shepherd and the heart of that shepherd who wants to be a shepherd for you through life's most difficult, dark valleys, the green pastures he has for you. And we're going to explore that some more. But for you, Michaela, as you were being shepherded by the Lord in this moment, what were the aspects of the Catholic life of faith that helped you to not just recover faith, but to grow and deepen your faith?
Yeah, I would have to say, coming to know who God is. I feel like I actually had a lot of Protestant brothers and sisters that showed me, like, really how to dig into the Word of God and just showing me. I had a very warped vision of who God is, and there was just a lot of fear around that, and And it seemed, conditional. And I think really getting to know the Lord in scripture really drastically changed how I saw him and his heart for me and his people and his whole plan of salvation. But then also taking this step, and this is where suffering really plays a part in our vulnerability with the Lord, because it was my suffering and it was the trials in my life that brought me to this place of vulnerability with God. And that's when the sacraments really started having more effect in my life and power in my life, because it wasn't just something that I was doing now. It was this impersonal encounter with a person that I wanted to know and love, and who I wanted to receive his love and I wanted to receive his healing. And so confession was a huge, huge part of my healing and my coming to know the love of God. And I am so thankful for the gift of confession. And I, instead of going in kind of with a mask on, or kind of a little bit at a distance and being very vague with my sins, I just started opening up my heart in ways that were more vulnerable and sharing like my struggles, my fears, like the specific things, and just letting God see me and see all that and see the ugliness and the pain, and just giving that to him and letting him love me into a place of healing and freedom. And then like the Eucharist, I feel like, yeah, that was a huge part of coming to know his love for me, like increasing that belief of Jesus in the Eucharist and what he's done for us. Just, yeah, opened my heart up to receiving more of his love that he had. And then also just like my own daily like relationship, personal relationship with him, like starting to, like commune with him, talk with him, inviting him into my life and in the details of my life, and then seeing his tremendous faithfulness was another way that I feel like coming to know.
No,
does that answer your question?
It does. I mean, you're talking about things that, again, like a lot of folks that are listening are thinking, I have going to Mass and receiving the Eucharist as part of my life of faith, and I pray with the scriptures, or yeah, I go to confession now and then. But to hear about them in a way that is fresh, is has this event quality to it. Like, this is an encounter with Jesus. When I read the scriptures, when I go to Mass and receive communion, it's Jesus. There's an encounter with Jesus, his voice, with his body and blood, with his very life and the mysteries of his life, and then going to confession and to be able to have the courage and the draw to unveil one's dark places that are right, often shielded because of shame, we want to hide. And to hear you say, I encountered his love at those places in my heart and in my life where I had to expose the darkest, dirtiest parts that I was most ashamed of. And yet it was there that I encountered his love. I mean, right. that's just so important, right, for us to hear.
Yeah. And I think too, I recognize that I didn't trust in his mercy enough to expose myself and to really, I was like, just, I don't know. Like, okay, if I like, if I really expose who I am, like, will I be loved, And that is just the condition of the human heart. I think this fear of rejection but believing in God's mercy, like, and trusting his love for us, allows you to just completely abandon yourself to him. And it's so powerful to walk away, to be like, I exposed everything, and he still loves me. He still encourages me. He still believes in me. He still wants me. And that is, it's so powerful in our own, like redemption.
Well, and today I'm talking with Michaela Owens. She's sharing about her own journey of faith. And one of the great gifts is that it's not just that you can have a chance to hear her now, but if you are able to get to the Spokane area on the South Hill of Spokane, is the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center. And on Friday, late afternoon, beginning at 4:30, January 31st, that's a couple weeks away, in just one day from 4:30 to 4:30, the 31st into February the 1st at 4:30, there's a beautiful time. It's a day of retreat and reflection that Michaela is going to be leading. And it's her job to just facilitate your encounter. And there's a very special theme that and a point of focus in this journey of faith that we have. And that's coming to experience the gift of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And in a very special way, letting the Word of God, as expressed in Psalm 23, to be a place of meditation and a place of encounter with Jesus in an intimate, personal, profound, and in a new way that can bring healing. And so, Michaela, I would love to hear a little bit about the approach you take as you think about, okay, here I am. The Lord is using me as a vessel to facilitate this encounter with the Good Shepherd through Psalm 23. What are some of the things that sort of you consider important for like doing a day of retreat like this, having folks come away and spend a day, you know, an overnight and then a day on retreat? What do you see as the gifts, the blessings that can unfold in a day like that?
Yeah, well, I think anytime we set aside time, intentional time to be with the Lord, He always shows up. He always ministers to us. He like draws us closer. And so I feel like this is such a gift that I feel like I'm also going on a retreat. I obviously experience it in a different way, but I get excited because I don't always know what to expect. And I'm always blown away by what the Lord like wants to speak to me, or, you know, a wall that He's breaking down, or just an enlightenment of who He is that I believe more when I walk away. And I don't feel like, I don't even know why God is choosing me for this. I trust that, I just like I trust that the work that He is doing in my life and what He wants me to share isn't just for myself, but it's for everybody else. It's for His glory. It's not so much, I don't know. I feel like it's not so much me. It's just what God wants, what the mighty works that He has done that I can't keep to myself and I want to share. And, but I definitely think you can never, you'll never regret like setting time aside for the Lord to speak to you, to be with Him. I think it's always, always fruitful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely been true for me as well. And I think that the time of year, we're just coming out of a time of year where not only are we busy, but there's a kind of frenzy to the busyness around the holidays. And we're moving from a time of darkness where it's starting to get lighter, and praise God for that. And I have found that, honestly, the month of January and in the end of January into early February before Lent comes is actually a beautiful window where there's just less stuff going on. And so the availability to take a day and say, Lord, I just put myself in your hands it's easier than at a lot of other times of the year. And one other thing I've found is that folks, when you think about doing like a retreat, when you do an overnight, there's something really important about that. Like coming there on Friday evening and being able to say, I'm finished with my week. You're just trying to like shed like the burdens of the week or the burdens of your life. And so being able to like spend Friday evening there, like entering into things, and then being able to go to sleep and wake up. Someone had shared that with me, like, I don't know, decades ago, before you were born, Michaela. And it was an insight that I've held on to, and that is, if you're going to go on a retreat, if at all possible, let it include an overnight so that you can enter with a freshness into that full day that's coming. And so I
Right.
think that it's a real gift that you're starting this on a Friday evening, the 31st, and then you have the full day, right? The full day. And yet, folks, you're done at 4:30, so you can get home and get back to, whatever your lives are at that point. So that gift, I think, is the structure itself, I think, is a real gift. So, but Michaela, let's dive in a little bit to why Psalm 23. I know that's such a rich psalm. It's the most famous psalm of all. Why was that the center of your own retreat day?
I love Psalm 23 because, David just describes his relationship with the Lord, and his walk with God and his journey with God, in such a way that it calls us to this intimacy with him. And he paints this beautiful picture of what it's like to be in relationship with Jesus and what God is calling us to in this life and the path that he wants for us. And so I've just always been drawn to it. And I feel like whatever phase of life I'm in, if I'm in the green pastures or I'm in the dark valley, that I can enter into this psalm in every season and I can feel God's presence. It's helping me to trust him more.
Well, and one of the things that I find so powerful about Psalm 23 is what you just mentioned, which is David talks about a rod and a staff that comfort me. Wait a minute. Like, I don't want the rod, right? Give me the staff that's going to rescue me. I don't want the rod that's going to correct me. But I don't really like the dark valleys. I want the green pastures, right? I want the anointing my head and let it overflow. This is what I want. And yet, Psalm 23 doesn't let us get away with that. It is in so many ways, I think, unfolding the major facets of the human journey and the journey of
Yes, that's
faith.
what I'm trying to
Yeah.
say.
No, and
Yeah,
it's,
no,
well, here's the thing.
exactly.
You do something better than saying it. You've lived it.
That's,
And
yeah.
so and I think for me, when we were talking before the interview about, hey, what do we want to, bring out into the open during the interview? It's something that you started in on at the very beginning, which is, you can meet me and you can see me with a bright smile on my face, and I've got all this enthusiasm for the Lord, and I love my Catholic faith. But if you're allowed to be drawn closer into my life experience, I'm talking as if I'm you now, right? There are dark valleys that are hard, and we have had to trust concretely in situations that are many parents' nightmares. And I have a testimony of the Lord's faithfulness, right? So I think that that's, for me, part of what is compelling about coming and hearing you is you're not just talking about, you're not talking like a teacher. Let me teach you about the psalm. No, let me introduce you
That
to
is
the
not my
shepherd.
gifting.
Yeah, let me introduce you to the shepherd as he has shepherded me in my life. I think that's the power of you in this retreat.
That's exactly it. And it covers it covers the Christian walk and just I feel I do. I feel like I look at this and I read it and I feel like in different trials and different seasons, like I understand more what each line means because I am experiencing it and the words come to life. And so it's so beautiful because I just think it's a psalm that that we need to meditate on all the time, because it's the relationship God wants for us. It's yeah.
Well, Michaela, you know, and again, I'm talking with Michaela Owens. She's sharing with us a bit about Psalm 23 that's at the center of her retreat day that she's leading on January the 31st, begins at 4:30 in the afternoon through the following day, Saturday, the 1st of February. And it's about the Good Shepherd. It's about knowing Jesus as a shepherd, right? Not just knowing him in the distance of 2,000 years, but experiencing his shepherding care in the day-to-day realities of our own life of faith. Talking with Michaela Owens, she's sharing with us a bit about Psalm 23 that's at the center of her retreat day that she's leading on January the 31st. And it's about the Good Shepherd. It's about knowing Jesus as a shepherd. Carrie says to me so regularly that she turns to scripture because it's a living word. You know, it's a word that it's not just like reading a good theological book or spiritual book in our tradition, but reading scripture, it's the living word of God. I said to her, it's so funny. I said to her this morning when I was praying, I said, Carrie, I got to share with you this scripture. It's from Luke chapter 22. And it's like, I read it to her and I said, it's like, I've never read this before. She said, no, you've read it before. But God made it alive in a new way. So it's as if you've never read it before. You never read it like that. Yes. It's God's living word.
Yes.
And so I'm like, okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, you're right. So, but isn't that true?
Oh my gosh, it's so true. Yes. Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, each word, it's almost like you've read it for the first time because you're experiencing it in a new way, or you didn't really know what that meant until you are walking in it, and until you are experiencing it in a real way in your life, you're like, oh, this is what he means by, you know, he guides me along righteous paths. Or this is what he means. Like even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, because every evil in my life, he's turned to good. He has brought tremendous blessings and goodness out of the most terrible things that have happened in my life. And, you know, or like, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And just experiencing in a new way, like, wow, there's no greater comfort than the presence of God. And, you know, what that, and so just, yeah, you're right. It's alive, and he speaks to us in different ways, in the different places.
Well, I have to say that Carrie was right. Carrie was right.
Oh, Carrie was right. Yeah.
And I
totally, but
yeah. I humbly submitted and acknowledged, yes, you're right, dear. How do I forget this? But it's, you know, it's like God's blessings are and graces, they're new every morning, right? So there's a newness. And and honestly, I think that, again, we can experience that in our prayer time, but the busyness of daily life often is pressing up against our prayer times to attempt to swindle us out of that place of quiet. You know, one of the scriptures that I was reading today after that Luke 22 passage was that Jesus was teaching in the temple during the day, and then at night he spent the night out at the Mount of Olives. So, and often we'll hear in the scriptures how Jesus went away and spent the night alone in prayer. Right. So there's something about stepping away from our day-to-day lives that makes room. It's like we're sending a signal to the Lord. Lord, we're making space for you. We're making space because we are desperately in need of knowing that personal touch of your care, the personal nearness of the Lord, not just a vague spiritual mist of refreshment. No, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus, you know me. You actually want to reach out and touch me in this part of my life that is so hard for me to acknowledge or want to know that I can bring it out into the open someplace. And yet you are waiting for me. I think that in a lot of ways, when we were talking beforehand, those are the kind of things that you are sharing with me. It's about does anybody have any idea how much the Lord wants to heal them? Right? And really, it's the one who's been healed that knows it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I would say this, that when you are talking about, you know, shepherding me through the dark valleys, not fearing evil, it's because you've experienced it. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I think of your experience with your daughter, right? And the darkness of that sickness and a little child, you just feel powerless.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. No, the greatest, I think the greatest trials in my life, I look back on and I experienced the greatest transformation. I experienced the greatest closeness with the Lord, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a deeper joy I have ever come to know, because it's in those dark valleys that we hang on to Jesus. Like, we hang on to his waist, we're grabbing onto that staff, and we are walking. We learn how to walk moment by moment with him. And that is where I really came to know the love of God in my life, and realizing, like, wow, God wants to walk moment by moment with me. This isn't just a relationship, you know, I check long distance, I check in here and here. Like, no, like he wants to be my everything. He wants to guide me down paths that lead to my highest good and the highest good of those around me. And, you know, he wants the very best for my life. And so it's just, I'm very thankful for those dark valleys, because I also, I don't live in so much fear anymore, because I have seen evil touch my life. I have seen the worst case scenarios play out, and fear often, tells us, you know, what things are going to look like, you know, like when we play that fear game in our minds and we're imagining, you know, the worst things happening, we always imagine them without God, without God's presence, without him with us, without his tremendous blessings and his love and his goodness, just raining down upon us. And so, so I just love that. I will fear no evil, you know, because you are with me.
And Michaela, you again said something that if we just isolated the sentence and put it out like on a whiteboard and had people read it and say, hey, do you want to say yes to that? They would be shocked. And the same statement was,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the darkest trials, the heaviest sufferings, the most difficult moments of my life were in fact the greatest places of intimacy and blessing and sources of Jesus's touch of love. And you're like,
I've never felt more love in my suffering.
So then let's reverse it. Hey, do you want to experience the touch of the Lord's love and his nearness and the greatest blessings in your life? Yeah, absolutely. Sign me up for him. Okay. Here come the trials, the difficulties and the sufferings. We don't like that.
Right. Like Mother Teresa says, suffering is a kiss from Jesus.
Please, Lord, stop kissing me, right?
And so obviously, like, I don't wish for these bad things to happen, right? But I'm not afraid of them anymore. I'm not afraid. I don't live in fear as much, because I know that that my God is good and that he will bring the most good out of it. And so I feel like I trust him more than I ever have. And you know, he obviously, that's something we're always growing in, but yeah, I just, yeah.
It's... Well, Michaela, you know, did you happen to read the book, He Leadeth Me? It's the story of that priest. You should read it. It really, for a couple of reasons. One is he sounds like you, right? So now his path of dark valleys was 23 years long, so a little longer than maybe what you've gone through, but right. But it was this Father Walter Chizik, a Jesuit, who ended up at the in World War II going into Russia. And then he was in these different kind of camps, prison camps, and was in solitary confinement in the worst, you know, Russian or, you know, Soviet interrogations in Lubyanka and this and all of this. Well, the book He Leadeth Me, he takes it from Psalm 23. And his, you know, the key point here is that in a life that looks anything but like a life that is led by the Lord, he came to experience through the most difficult trials and sufferings that you could imagine, that every step of the way, every day, every moment, every challenge, every trial, every suffering, every terrible thing, he can say truly and profoundly, he was leading me. A theologian can't say that. Only the witness can say that. Only the one who has the testimony can say that. And it's so profound. It's so life-changing. Anyway, so I think that that would be a really beautiful book for you to read, right? He Leadeth
Me.
Because he talks about God's providence. It's all God's providence. It's all divine providence guiding us. And it's his will manifesting itself even through these darkest of valleys. He's leading me. So anyway, so that just kind of jumped out at me as you were sharing. I was like, oh, of course. Hey, that was also Psalm 23. And again, I'm talking with Michaela Owens today. She's sharing with us a bit about her retreat day that she's leading on January the 31st at the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center, where she's going to be helping bring you into contact with the Good Shepherd and the heart of that shepherd who wants to be a shepherd for you through life's most difficult, dark valleys. So, hey, let me say this as we're coming up close to the end of our time together, but if you believe how fast this goes by, what would you like to share about how the day is going to unfold? And if you don't have all the details, that's fine. But if you just have a couple of things that you'll be like doing with the folks that are on retreat, whether it's song or prayer, quiet time, teaching, meditation, journaling, if there are any like sort of pieces or parts of that retreat that you have that you're open to share a little bit about, I'd love for folks to get to know.
Yeah. So I've kind of broken it down where we're going to be just meditating. Each talk is going to be meditating on that particular section of the psalm. And then there's going to be mass and confession and time for prayer and quiet time for journaling. And so really just this inviting the Lord into this space of how he is calling us to walk with him more closely as the shepherd of our lives. And so there'll be a lot of time to listen to just my heart and what I have to share and my own testimony and like walking through the psalm in my own personal life. But then also just time for, you know, Lord, what do you have for me? Like, what do you want to speak to me? What are the ways that you want me to trust you more? You know, kind of contemplating too, like, what is your will for my life? Because that's a huge piece in here that I know we didn't get to touch on, but is just following God's paths for our life. That has been the most challenging part of the psalm for me, is when, you know, it says he guides me along righteous paths. A lot of times those are the paths we don't want to go down. They're like the scary path, just the path that you know, but they are what sanctify us. They are actually lead us to where God wants us, the best that he has for us. And some of those paths we get to choose, some of them we don't get to choose. I mean, they just happen. Like, you know, your daughter gets diagnosed with cancer, or someone commits suicide, or your dad dies, or whatever. That is a path of walking. And what matters most is like that we're walking with him along these paths. It changes everything. And so yeah, I just yeah, I think it'll be a beautiful day. I'm excited because of what of how God wants to speak to me and you know, just how we're going to encounter him.
So, Michaela, I think that in my own life, when I've experienced serious trials, and like with Carrie, as we experience serious trials, that often just means family, right? It's still the mystery of believing that the Lord, who has, again, these green pastures for us, that He's with us even in the middle of suffering, like real suffering. And it doesn't just go away. He's with us, but we are suffering. And that doesn't even just mean physical suffering. It's anxiety over what's happening and what will happen. It's feeling overwhelmed by life's circumstances. It's feeling powerless to do anything about it. It's feeling desperate to say, God, why aren't you moving more manifestly, quickly? And you come back around and say, in the midst of all of those things, not just as words, but as things that are like embodied in how I'm living right now, I still have to stand up, go forward, and believe beyond what I'm feeling and experiencing, He is with me. He is loving me. He is taking care of me, and He will see us through.
Right. Yeah, when it doesn't make sense and when it hurts, just trusting that, yeah, in his greater plans and
So
all of
I would
it.
say this, that, being able to come out and be with you, Michaela, on that retreat, again, it's begins on Friday evening, the 31st at 4:30. You get to have a wonderful dinner at the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center. It's ihrc.net. ihrc.net is the website where you can click on the events, and then you can see there's Michaela's lovely picture. You can register and sign up for the event. And it goes just for a day. It's one day, but it can change your life because the Lord is there, and He is there to meet you in a fresh new way. He'll honor your time. He'll honor your commitment to come out and be with Him, and let Michaela be that vessel that the Lord is using to minister some of His shepherding care in your life. This is not just for those who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. This is for everyone in our lives of faith, because guess what? Those burdens might be in your rearview mirror right now, but guess what? They're also around the next bend. And so being able to experience the loving kindness of the Lord in the right now moment, where if you're experiencing the green pastures of the Lord, celebrate, rejoice, be grateful for that. But also know that He has healing for the wounds that have been part of your past, and He will bolster your strength and trust for the trials that are still to come. Any final words of encouragement that you'd want to say, Michaela?
No, I'm just excited and honored to be a part of this retreat, and I'm really looking forward to how God wants to move in our hearts and draw us to himself, because that's what this life's about. This
Amen.
whole journey.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's
Amen.
Michaela Owens joining me today. Michaela, thank you so much. It's been a very enjoyable conversation. So nice to spend some time with you.
Yes.
Look forward to connecting our kiddos together again.
Yes.
Maybe on a volleyball court, maybe on a basketball court, or
Yes.
maybe just
So
church.
fun.
Okay.
So fun.
All right.
Thank you,
Well,
Tom.
absolutely.